John chapter 19. This is the sixth saying of our Savior on the cross. One more, and I'll be done with this. Then we'll move on to something else, whatever God wills for me to say. But I wanted you to start reading with me there in verse 28. John 19:28. After this, and you know, if you want to know what after this is, just read what happened before. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he's dead already, they brake not his legs. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know. To try to describe him and the things that he did and suffered while he was on this earth, human mind just can't get it. My mind can't. Maybe yours can. Mine can't. He is the only perfect man that ever lived on this earth. God created Adam. Adam may have lasted 24 hours. I don't know. I know he wasn't, after he had created Eve, I know he didn't last very long before he partook of the forbidden fruit and fell as our representative, and we all fell with him. He was separated from God, we were. He died spiritually, we died spiritually. We lost understanding of God, he lost understanding of God. He lost righteousness, we lost righteousness. And so God, even before he created Adam, he already had his end declared. He already had a body prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this world with. Our Lord Jesus was in the mind and purpose of God to come into this world for this one event, the greatest event that's ever taken place in human history. And will ever take place in human history is our Lord Jesus Christ on this cross and what was accomplished while he was on that cross. People say, well, airplanes was the greatest. Nope. What about computers? Nope. What about iPhones? Nope. The greatest event that ever took place in human history was our Lord Jesus Christ being put on that cross. And the reason being is he had no sin of his own. He did nothing wrong. He obeyed God perfectly all the days of his life. He was sent into this world for this one event. One event. And so being a perfect man, his mind was even perfect, even when he was suffering on this cross. His mind was perfect. He was here in the last moments of his life. He had been cruelly mistreated. Suffered more than our minds could ever even begin to fathom. But his mind is clear. His memory is perfect. And he says, in his last words, everything he said in the words that he used on the cross, were full of wisdom and prudence and ordered before he ever uttered them. God said, this is what you'll say. The scripture said, this is what you'll say. This is what you'll go through. And he, with all this wisdom and all this clearness of his mind, his sufferings was without measure. And when our Lord declared on this cross, and I said, and the scripture said, he cried with a loud voice in one place, it is finished. It is finished. In his mind, in his heart, in his will, in his heart and soul, when he said it is finished, he said, my Father's glory is fully accomplished now. The salvation of his sheep was in his mind. And so when he said it is finished, he understood clearly what was happening. He understood clearly that every purpose of God was fulfilled. Every promise that God made was finished in him. Every prophecy, every ceremony, every sacrifice, every covenant, and all the eternal glories was fixed so clearly in our Savior's mind at this awful hour. And he knew that the scriptures all were comprehended in him. They were all comprehended in him. And all of this, when and while he was yet mocked by his enemies, his hands and feet were nailed to the cross, and in his mind, while he was on that cross, in this moment, he beheld all of God's revelation. Remember, he's eternal. His mind's perfect. You're talking, you're looking at a perfect man here, sinless man here, a holy man here, a harmless man here. So why wouldn't his mind be perfect? Why wouldn't his mind be clear? And at this time, and he beheld all of God's revelation from Genesis to Malachi. And he said, it is finished. It is finished. And this is what Bruce Crabtree and I was talking about this the other day. Our blessed Savior, by the worth of his glorious person, the worth of his person before God, the worth of his person before heaven, the worth of his person before us, he was able to endure in his 6 hours on the cross by his sufferings and the agony he endured, our everlasting punishment. How can one man suffer so much as many in such short space of time and do for so many people what they could not do for themselves? If you know who he is, you can get it. Oh, listen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, how valuable, how much worth is his person? And his person was so virtuous, so sinless, so perfect, that God could look on him and say, I find no fault. This man is perfect in my sight. But yet, when he was on that cross, he was bearing people's sins in his own body on that tree. And in 6 hours, he was able to go through what you and I could not have ever satisfied God with in eternity, separated from him. That's how valuable his person is. That's how worthy he is. And our Lord Jesus Christ's suffering, it can't be measured. Can't measure it with our finite minds. But I do know this, that what causes our eternal punishment, sin, he took it away. Our second death, which is the punishment for sin, He took it away. He took it away. Huh? And I also know this, that what He suffered on that cross, God accepted it for everyone for whom He died. So I ask you the question, you reckon He died for you? Did He reckon He died for you? I believe He died for me. I believe He died for me. So when He said it is finished, when He said there in verse 30, it is finished, what was comprehended in that statement, in that declaration that our Lord gave? May God help us to grasp it and understand it to a little degree. I know this, that it comprehended all the types. You know, the Old Testament's full of types and pictures. Abel's sacrifice, Abel's lamb, was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, a picture of Him. Noah's Ark, and let me tell you something about that. God, you know, Noah didn't say one day, said, I think it's going to rain, so I might ought to make myself a boat. No, God came to him and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord told him what to do, and the Lord directed him what to do, and the Lord told him how big to build it and how to build it and what to put in it. So all those types, the Passover lamb was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the promises in this blessed book that was made to God's elect, that we would one day receive and have in our hearts and possess, our Lord Jesus Christ comprehended all those prophecies. And the prophecies, all the prophecies in the scriptures were fulfilled and comprehended in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now fully accomplished. Ain't that what he says there in verse 28? After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Now listen to this. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. Whoa. People say they ain't been fulfilled yet. Only one thing left to do. All of it's been fulfilled. The only thing has to happen is for Christ to come get us. Huh? I've already got the promise. I've already had my sin put away. I've already been given righteousness. I've already been accepted of God. So all I'm waiting for is to be called home. I already got the promise of that. Huh? Where did I get it at? Got it from Christ. Got it from God before Christ ever come in, before Christ ever died. I've got that promise. Where'd you get it at? God. The whole book, the law and the prophets, were finished in our Lord Jesus Christ. You start out in Genesis 3:15, where God said the seed of the woman would bruise, that Satan had got, that the seed of the woman would bruise his head or his heel, and he'd crush his head. Do you go all the way to Malachi, when the servant of the Lord shall, the servant of the Lord shall suddenly appear in his temple, and shall arise with healing in his wings. And all the types, from that red heifer to the turtle doves, and the hyssop that was dipped in the blood and sprinkled on the lintels of the doors when the Passover lamb was coming through. And I tell you what, in all to Solomon's temple, in all of his glory, our Lord Jesus Christ was greater than all of Solomon's glory, worth all of more than Solomon's gold, greater than Solomon's temple, because he was the temple of God in this world. And I tell you what, all of them were fulfilled in him. Every prophecy, and I tell you that Bible is full of them, every prophecy was wrought out in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to listen to me. I want you to pay attention. You suppose we take away Christ out of the Old Testament. Take away Christ. find you the wisest man that you can find, and you hand him just the Old Testament now. You hand him just the Old Testament. And say, I've got a problem here, and I'll see if you can find and see if you can solve it. Now you read this Old Testament here. You start in Genesis and you go through the Old Testament. And you find in your mind an ideal character who will fit exactly all that's prophesied and promised in that old book, in that Old Testament. Huh? Oh my. That'd be a task, wouldn't it? That'd be a task. I want to show you something before I get into it. Look over here at Acts chapter 8. This is what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 8. In verse 26, look what I'm talking about here. Oh, construct in your imagination, you wise men. I gave you the Bible. I gave you the Old Testament. Has a lot of prophecies, a lot of pictures, and a lot of promises in that book. I want you to tell me, find the ideal character that will fulfill those things. Here in verse 26, it says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, go to that chariot, join yourself to it. And Philip ran and caught up with him, and heard him reading. He is reading out loud, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? Boy, that's a good question, ain't it? Do you understand what you're reading? How can you understand unless God gives you one? Now, watch what this man says. And here's the first thing he said. How can I accept some man should guide me? I can't understand unless somebody should guide me. That's what God calls preachers to do. Huh? And listen to this now. And he desired Philip. He stopped that chair. He said, come up here and sit with me now. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, out of Isaiah 53. And this is what he said, 7 and 8. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, oh, he was so humiliating. In his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? Now here's the question. This is what this wise man's got to find out and got to answer. And the eunuch answered and said, I pray thee, who's this prophet talking about? Of himself or some other man? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? Now watch what he says now. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you reckon he started at? Huh? When he started out. So, okay, now let's go. That's what we're giving to this wise man. Let's hand him that Old Testament. Just do like this Ethiopian eunuch. Who's this man talking about? Now, you remember, he must be a prophet like Moses. He must be the captain of the Lord of hosts and fight all the battles and conquer all the enemies of God's people. He must be Aaron, a high priest that goes behind the veil and offers blood. And he must yet be Melchizedek, who is the most high prophet, most high priest of the most high God, with no beginning and no ending. He must be both David, and he has to be Solomon. He got to be a king, and he's got to be the wisest man that ever lived. He must be Noah. And you know what Noah means? His name means comforter. Comforter. He got to be the prophet Jonah and all the things fulfilled in Jonah. He's got to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He's got to be Judah, out of whom Shiloh shall arise. And he's got to be Joseph. And you know Joseph, he must be hated and despised of his brothers. He must be rejected and sold, and sold for money, like our Lord was. He's got to be put in prison. He's got to bear judgment for something he didn't do. Then he's got to be raised up out of there and exalted to the highest position. And then he's got to be the only one that's got the bread to feed anybody. Now remember these things. And I tell you, I said it. No, listen. It's what this old man, we got to tell this old wise man said. He must be the lamb slain. And those two goats, for one was sins confessed over it. And he was let go by a fit man out into the wilderness. He's got to be that scapegoat who carries him all the way away. And he's got to be the fit man that takes him. And he's got to be that goat that all the sins were laid on and was sacrificed. He's got to be the turtle dove dipped in blood. He has to be the priest who slew that bird and offered it. He must also be the altar, the brazen altar. He must be the incense altar. He must be the brazen altar and the sacrifices were offered. He must be that incense altar made out of gold that made that incense go up before God. He must be the tabernacle where God dwells and men meet God, and only there. He must be the mercy seat behind that veil. And when you go in that tabernacle, there's a, right on the right hand side, there's a table full of showbread. He's got to be that showbread. And over here on the right, there's a light left. On the left, there's a light. And in that light, he must be that light. Oh my. Our Lord Jesus. You reckon this fellow find this man? All prophecies must meet in this man. Even though they seem to contradict. It says in there that all kings shall fall down before him. Yet he's also despised and rejected of men. He must be born of a virgin. He must be a man without spot and without blemish. And yet God causes all sin of his people to meet on him. He must be a glorious king with an everlasting throne, the son of David. And yet he must be a root out of dry ground. Huh? Now, wise man, you've read that book. You've read that book. Who is this man? Who is it talking about? Who's he talking about? What's the key that unlocks this book that we gave to you? Well, I believe I found it. I believe I found it. I believe I found the key. There's only one man that can wear the dress of the Old Testament. And that's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That garment fits him perfectly. But what about that cross? What about that cross? Oh, that's part of the garment he's got to wear. What about that cup that it talked about, that full of the wrath of God? He's got to drink that too. That goes with the garment. That goes with the garment. And oh my, he said, in him we see all things accomplished. It is finished. Everything is summed up in that God and in that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. All those Old Testament sacrifices, all those Old Testament sacrifices, from Abel's lamb to the last lamb offered under that old covenant, was fulfilled in him. Oh my. And he was the one sacrifice after all those sacrifices were offered. He was that last sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the blessed sacrifice, that when he offered himself without spot before God, he put away sin once and for all. And I tell you what, he satisfied God. I tell you something else he satisfied. He satisfied all the consciences of all the people where that blood's been applied. Is your conscience asking for anything else other than him? Huh? You want something else to make it satisfied? No, no. He satisfied our conscience. Not only satisfied them, but purified them. Purified them. Oh my. When Isaac was taken up on that mountain and Abraham went there, he was that ram caught in that thicket. He was that ram. And you know, when he talked about that 3 hours of darkness, I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to quit preaching now. I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to quit preaching and tell you what I think. When our Lord Jesus Christ, in that 3 hours of darkness on the cross and no one seen, it says over in Hebrews 9, it says over there in verse 12, that not with the sacrifice of bulls and goats, not with the sacrifices of lambs, but he entered once into the holy place with his own blood. Just like they did in the Old Testament, they went behind that veil. But they took the blood of a lamb. But he entered once in that 3 hours of darkness. He entered once into that holy place. Not with the blood of others, but with his own blood. He put it on God's altar. And you can find that in Revelation 19 too. And it says this, he entered there and put his own blood on that altar. And when he came back out, now you got to remember, this is God and man. He's hanging on. Why was there 3 hours of darkness? He, by his Spirit, went into that presence of God and offered his blood. And when he came out, you know what he came out with? Eternal redemption. How long is eternity? Well, it's longer than you know. Huh? You know how much redemption I got? Eternal. You know when it was, you know how eternal is? It reaches all the way back there. It reaches all the way to there. That's what he got for his people. Yeah. Oh my. Oh my. And then he got back on that cross with there by the Spirit. The darkness lifted. Darkness went away. He said, it is finished. Our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished this blessed redemption. I tell you what was finished. His obedience, his perfect obedience to his Father is finished. For sinful man, and that's what we are. That's what we are. Yeah. We're sinful men. Sinful men. But yet for that sinful man to be saved, the law must be kept. Every time you look at the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of every single one of them and 10,000 things beside. Before a man can be saved, a sinful man can be saved, that law must be kept. And a man must have a righteousness that God will accept. Christ said, "It is finished. I brought in everlasting righteousness for my people." In fact, the scripture says, "Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness." Christ is the end of the law for everyone that believeth. And He is the end of the law in two ways. Let me tell you this. He was the end of the law. He is the end of the law for righteousness. That's for the man who fulfills the law. And then He's the end of the law for death. Sin, the end of the law is death for those who don't keep it, if you're going to be justified by law. And then I tell you, He's the end of the law, not only for righteousness, but also He brought death to end at there on the cross. The end of the law, He bore the curse of it. So I tell you what, when He come to the end of the law, you and I's already been there in our Savior. Oh my, obedience in His curse. Now let me tell you something. God can ask no more. Could God ask any more? The law's received its claim. It's been honored. It's been magnified. It's been fulfilled. Justice can't ask for another moment of obedience. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. Look in Romans 8. Look in Romans 8. Let me tell you, This is what happened. Romans 8. Oh my. Gary Spracker preached here recently on the uttermost farthing has been paid. The uttermost farthing. For a man can ever get out of prison, the uttermost farthing has to be paid. And when that uttermost farthing's been paid, the door's open, freedom's accomplished, we get to go free. The debt's been paid, the uttermost farthing. And look what it said here in Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, oh my, but delivered Him up, delivered Him up to that cross, delivered Him up for our sin, delivered Him up to His law, delivered Him up to condemnation and guilt, delivered Him up for us all. Now listen to this. If He did that, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now listen to it. Well, who's going to lay anything in charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who's going to condemn us? It's Christ that died. Not only did He die, but yea, He's risen again. Well, where's He at? He's at the right hand of God. That's where He's at. Oh, listen, beloved. The whip of God's law was worn out on Him. Worn out on Him. And it ain't got nothing for me. And I tell you, it's lifted up and wore out for those for whom He suffered. Scott Richardson, this is where I got this at. He said, "Men die and then face the judgment. Our Lord Jesus Christ faced the judgment. Then He died." When He died, He totally destroyed, when He said, "It is finished," every enemy of our soul. Sin, He bore it away. Satan, He crushed his head. Death, He took away his sting and his power. And He took away the keys of death and hell. Oh my. No wonder he said, it is finished. Upon a life, I did not live. Upon a death, I did not die. Another's death, another's life, I cast my soul eternally. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge can lay. Fully absolved by Christ I am from sin's tremendous curse and blame. It is finished. Hang your soul on that. Soak your soul in that. Our Father, in the blessed name, precious name, glorious name, saving name, holy name, powerful name. Name that's above every name. We come to bless you, come to praise you. Lord, we cannot begin to comprehend what it means and understand what it means that it is finished. But Lord, I thank you that what little I know about it, I'm very thankful. What little I understand about it, I'm very thankful. Because I do understand this clearly, plainly, and believe it. That when you said it is finished, my salvation and all your people's was eternally and completely finished once and for all. You give us a full, a free, a complete, eternal salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. God bless the gospel to the hearts of those gathered here today. For Christ's sake, amen. Oh, boy. 125 in our hymn book. Let's stand together and sing this. Everybody ought to know this one. We sang it enough, but oh my, what a appropriate song today. I hear the Savior say, weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. Oh,
washed it white as snow. Before the throne, I stand in Him, complete. Jesus died, my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Amen. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left that crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, God willing, I'll see you.